This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. A brief program note: on Wednesday, next Wednesday, Lynn Neary will guest host the show live at the Newseum in Washington. And if you're going to be in Washington, you want tickets to join the audience for a live broadcast of Talk of the Nation, you can send an email to tickets@npr.org. For the rest of the hour, can tobacco plants, normally associated with causing cancer, be pressed into service to combat cancer, to make vaccines to fight cancer, vaccines that are specifically attuned to attack the tumors in your own body? Well, researchers studying one form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma have found that indeed tobacco plants seem to be able to produce the vaccine proteins, and in their first clinical tests, those proteins are safe when used in people. And now the main question remains, can the vaccines actually battle cancer? Can they shrink tumors? They described their work in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And joining me now to talk about it is Ronald Levy, professor of medicine and chief of the Division of Oncology at Stanford University School of Medicine in Stanford, California, and one of the authors of that report. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Let's talk about that. You haven't cured anybody or treated anybody yet. This is just a safety study.
That's correct. This is the first step along the way of a long project to develop a way of inducing the immune system to fight the disease.
Let's walk through what you did. You took cells from a patient, and you take it from there.
Well, the cells contain a target, which is really special. Every cancer cell of this type, lymphoma, has a version of this target, which is different. So every person has a target that we can make a attack against. So we cloned the gene for that target and inserted it into a virus that infects the tobacco plant, a so-called tobacco mosaic virus. And this virus spreads throughout the plant and turns it into a protein-producing factory. We can then clip the leaves, extract the protein, and inject it back into the person.
And what happens in the person?
Well, what we determined in this study is that it's safe to do it. This hadn't been done before. And that it induces an immune response in the person against their own cancer.
It did in this study actually induce an immune response.
Yes, that was the goal of the study, and that's what we determined here. We hope to go on and determine the real thing we want to know, which is whether it does people any good to do this immune response.
Does that mean you have to tweak up the amount you give to people, or what do you do?
Well, we have to do it in larger numbers of people, and we have to do it in a way in which we compare it to people who don't get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And what would be how would you know if it were working or not?
Well, what we really care about is that the tumor stays away and doesn't come back, and that people live longer. And those are long clinical trials. They require large numbers of patients, and they require a comparison to a group that doesn't get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-989-8255, talking with Ronald Levy at Stanford. Immediately, there are two questions. One, this is normal for researchers to use bacteria, things like that, instead of plants as their factories?
Yes, that's the unique feature of this particular study. There are a number of ways of making protein vaccines in bacteria, in mammalian cells, even insect cells are sometimes used for this. Sometimes naked DNA, so-called, is used as the vaccine. In this case, it's a protein produced by a tobacco plant, and it takes advantage of a special technology that was developed just for this purpose.
Explain that a bit more. Why was the tobacco plant chosen?
Well, there's a virus called tobacco mosaic virus that used to be a big problem for the tobacco farmers. And since then, crops have been developed that resist this virus. But this is a virus that spreads very rapidly throughout the plant. And it can be a vehicle for carrying a cargo into the plant, another gene that can code, they have the blueprint to make a new protein. And so it's a very rapid technology. You infect the plant in one site, and on one leaf, and then it spreads throughout the plant. And in about a week, you can have all the leaves of the plant infected with the virus and making the protein that you code for.
Wow, so this plant grows very quickly.
Well, the plant grows quickly, but it's a plant that's already grown that's infected by the virus. So the plant is already big, and there can be as many of the plants as you choose. So the technology is scalable. You can make a lot of one product, or you can make a lot of different products for different people. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so adaptable for this particular project, where we had to make a customized vaccine for each person.
And that way the body does not reject the vaccine if it comes back.
Well, the vaccine is inducing an immune response
right.
that will hopefully reject the cancer.
Right. And how many, theoretically, different kinds of cancers could you grow and, you know, try out using your tobacco plants?
Well, there's no limit to the number of kind of cancers that we could attack as long as we knew a target for the cancer. In lymphoma, there's a special opportunity because they have a target we already know about. The problem is that it's a different version of the target for every single person. So that's why we needed a technology that was fast and could be adapted for making many different individualized, customized products.
Just by taking a sample of the cells from
that's
everybody
right.
else?
That's right. Each person donates a sample of their tumor, and from that we get the genes that code for this protein, insert them into this virus, make a plant, produce that protein, and inject it back in.
1-800-989-8255. So, the $64 question, when does phase two start? When do you start the second part to see how well it works?
Well, there are a number of companies interested in this technology or other versions of this kind of approach. And there have been trials already done with proteins made a different way. And three such randomized trials were done and reported in the past few months. Two of them were negative, and one of them was positive. So we have a mixed scorecard at the moment on this whole approach. But we hope that these rapid technologies like this one or others like it will allow us to have the vaccine ready quicker and be able to administer it to people earlier before they've had other therapies.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that this tobacco plant idea was tried three times?
Not the tobacco version, but other versions of making similar proteins by other methods.
Uh-huh. And would you expect more success with the plant or just about the same way?
Well, we're expecting the versions that can be genetically engineered to be better because we can build other things into the genes that we make the proteins from, mm-hmm. other things that stimulate the immune system in a nonspecific way. So we can make a combined product by stitching into the genes other things we want to be there.
So you take the genes, you take the sample out of the person, then you genetically modify it.
That's right.
Stick it in the plant. And what part of the plant makes the product, the protein?
The leaves and
the what
stem.
Part of the leaves? Where would it be happening in the leaves?
Well, you scratch it on a leaf, and you can track the virus spreading throughout the plant. And at the end of about a week, all the leaves are making this protein. And what you do is you take the leaves and suck fluid into them in a vacuum, and then put them in like a salad spinner and squeeze out the green juice. And in that green juice, you have the protein that you're interested in.
Wow. 1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we can get a call or two in here from Dr. Kevin in Long Island. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, good afternoon. Great show, great topic. My question is, in a simplistic way, does the doctor feel that the response generated by the tobacco plant is related to the fact that there's a quantitative amount of the protein being produced, and why does that not occur in the host individual that has the lymphoma? In other words, what is it about the plant-injected protein that is getting the immune response that's lacking in the host normally?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. What we're trying to do is to get the immune system to start doing something that it wasn't doing on its own. So the product that we produce, plants or otherwise, is changed in its form from the version that is on the tumor cell. And it's got different sequences in it, different sugars on it, and sometimes we even chemically couple it to some other molecule that attracts the immune system. So we're taking something that is already in the view of the immune system, and we're altering its form and getting the immune system to wake up and recognize it.
So it's been modified to tweak the immune system a bit.
That's right.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to Dan in Farmington, New Hampshire. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I was just wondering, with the next phase of clinical trials, if how you would determine the response versus a control group, whether or not you were going to give the experiment group the normal courses of chemo and whatnot, or if you would hope to do this quickly enough that you would see a response before the typical protocols would ramp up into an advanced state where it might be difficult to tell what would be the normal rate of rescission.
Yes, that's a good question. There are a number of ways of testing this. One is to wait for people to have other therapy so their tumor is shrunken down to the minimum it could be, but we know it usually does come back. During that window of time, we can get in there with a vaccine. Even better idea might be to give the vaccine before they've had other therapies that suppress the immune system. And if this technology is quick and we can deliver the product to the person within a month or two, then we can get in there before the other therapies. So there are two kinds of trials that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Anita in Cincinnati. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, great program. Don't miss it.
Thank you.
I have a question. What is the mechanism of destruction of the tumor cell by the immune response, if you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, I understand. We do a lot of thinking about this. We have a team working here analyzing the immune responses. And there are two basic ways the immune system works. One is through antibodies, which are proteins in the blood, and the other is through T cells, cells of the immune system that attack target cells like tumor cells. And both of these are induced by these vaccines, both antibodies and T cells. And we're trying to figure out which is the more important component. My own bias is that antibodies are very important. We know this because if we give people antibodies that we've made, they're very effective in treating these kinds of cancers. So it seems like a good idea to get the patient to make it his own antibodies.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. 1-800-989-8255 is the number. We're talking about growing viruses, vaccines in tobacco plants this hour and talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Other tumors that, that you might not be working on but might have the right kind of structure to be amenable to using this kind of therapy?
Well, yes, I think that we know that cancer is a problem in the genes in every case. And sometimes those genes are changed, they're mutated in ways that produce abnormal proteins. And when we know these genetic accidents that have occurred, we can design a vaccine approach against those abnormal products made by those genetic accidents. Mm-hmm. So there are many people working on discovering these targets and then tuning up the immune system to go after them.
Mm-hmm. But you can't name any specific other cancers besides the lymphomas you're working on.
Well, we're focusing on lymphoma because we have a special target that we've been working on a long time. But there are for virtually every kind of cancer, there are people working on breast cancer, lung cancer. Melanoma is a common one that people are working on.
1-800-989-8255. Megan in Staten, Oregon. Is it Staten?
Oh, it's Staten.
Staten, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, it's kind of related to what the gentleman was just saying, but my son has a slow-growing brain tumor. It affects his balance, and he's receiving chemotherapy for it. I was wondering, is this something that could be used for his treatment, and how far into the future, is this going to be acceptable? Or available, I mean.
Well, this is a tough question. Brain cancer is one of the hardest ones, and there are groups of people working on such mutations that I just described as targets for the immune system in brain cancer. There are certain targets that are mutated in many patients with brain cancer. There are trials available for vaccines against this kind of cancer, mm-hmm. and if you email me later, I can let you know what some of those are.
Yeah, well, you go to our website, and our address for him is on there. And if you have any trouble, we'll find a way for you to reach Dr. Levy. We've got about a minute left. Where do you go from here?
Well, we're working very hard on this project. It's a long project that's been going on for a long time, and we have various versions of it. This technology using tobacco plants is a really interesting one. There are other technologies. There's one developed at our university by a professor named Jim Swartz that uses a technology of making proteins completely in the test tube without using any organism at all. And we're hoping that that's going to be an even faster way of making these proteins.
So speed is of importance here.
We think it's important because we'd like to be there up front before the patient has had other therapies which would, on their own, knock down the immune system. So we want a good immune system to work with here.
I see, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to stimulate the immune system before it's damaged.
That's right.
And once it gets damaged, it's too late, or it's not going to work as well.
Well, we think it has a better chance if we can start when the immune system is healthy.
Mm-hmm. And so other people are working on other different techniques, and we'll see who comes out ahead, and you're hoping for the fastest.
Absolutely.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Okay.
Ronald Levy is a professor of medicine and chief of the Division of Oncology at Stanford University School of Medicine in Stanford, California. This program is produced by Karen Vergoth and senior producer Ned Heiss. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Our interns are Christopher Intagliata and Liz Burns. Josh Rokeson is our technical director at the controls here in New York. And in Second Life, we had help from Lynn Collins, Dave Andrews, Jeff Corbin, and the University of Denver. Folks are still hanging out in Second Life. If you want to go get a T-shirt or talk with them, go to Science Friday Island, or you can surf over to our website at Science Friday. We'll take you right there. Also, we're blogging and podcasting and looking for your videos. We have a new video up there this week. I think it's very interesting. Go to check it out on sciencefriday.com or look for it on iTunes. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.